The statue of Abraham Lincoln in Lincoln Park was vandalized Monday with graffiti calling the former president a quote-unquote colonizer. Red paint was poured over the statue and dethroned the colonizers was spray painted on there, along with a bunch of other things. I don't even know if we should dignify the vandalism by saying what their message was. In a statement, the anonymous group who claimed credit for the vandalism said they wanted to memorialize Indigenous Peoples Day by calling attention to the execution of 38 Dakota men during the U.S.-Dakota War of 1862. Abraham Lincoln signed the order of execution. Slips of paper with the names of 38 men who were executed were attached to the base of the Lincoln statue. So this wasn't your run-of-the-mill spray and go. The group sought to tear down the myth of Lincoln as a great liberator and expose his complicity in the genocide of Indigenous peoples and the theft of their lands. Lincoln chose to execute the Dakota 38, they wrote, to cater to white settler communities, demands for racist violence. There's also this in the Chicago Sun-Times today. The day that's long been marked as Columbus Day, a group of local leaders gathered at a Northside park to call for the holiday to be completely renamed to Indigenous Peoples Day. We want to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day, not share, replace, said Les Begay, the co-founder of the Indigenous Peoples Day Coalition of Illinois. Indigenous Peoples Day in Illinois is a commemorative observance, not a paid holiday for government workers. A bill in the House proposed last year that would swap Columbus Day for Indigenous Peoples Day, but that did not advance. Similar efforts at the city and county levels do not have the votes needed to pass those measures. This is interesting. While those efforts were opposed by Italian Americans to swap the name of the holiday, the Cook County effort faced objections from black descendants of those who had been enslaved by major Native American tribes, who say the tribes needed to do more to acknowledge that history. Think about that. Black descendants who had been enslaved by Native American tribes. So black Americans in Chicago don't love the idea of Indigenous Peoples Day. Chicago Public Schools already replaced Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. Joe Biden last year issued a proclamation to observe Indigenous Peoples Day alongside Columbus Day. Okay, all of that, but back to Abraham Lincoln and how the Native Americans were treated while he was president. Michael Burlingame is a Lincoln authority at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Welcome back to the show, Michael. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me back.
So just where do you want to start on all of that? Can you sort of just give us a little background to start? I need to take a commercial break here in a couple of minutes, but what's this story between Lincoln and the Dakota 38?
Well, in August of 1862, in the middle of the Civil War, the Dakota Indians in Minnesota rose up for reasons that are pretty easy to understand. They had been promised certain things, and the promises weren't being followed through on. The Lincoln administration was slightly preoccupied with the Civil War, and a payment that was due to the tribe hadn't arrived, and they were in real trouble. So they were pretty angry, and they rose up, and it was quite a significant uprising. Over 350 white settlers were massacred. 2,000 or more were captured. Thousands of more were unhoused, as we would say today. And it was finally put down by militia and the army. And trials were then held by a military commission, and 303 Dakota were condemned to death. Lincoln insisted that that not go forward until he looked at the records. The records were submitted. They showed that there was all kinds of unfair tactics used in those trials, and Lincoln overrode the death sentence for 264 Indians. He saved 264 Dakota by overruling the military commission. There were 38 who were found guilty of misconduct, two were considered guilty of rape, and 38 were considered guilty of or found guilty of having killed people in cold blood. And Lincoln was under intense pressure to execute all 303. And he said, I couldn't do that. And he was told later that if you had allowed all 303 to be executed, you would have gotten more votes. And he said, I couldn't kill men in order to improve my record at the polls. So it's a gross misunderstanding. What Lincoln did was to resist political pressure to execute the 303 and spare the lives of 264.
Okay, that's certainly a different way to tell the story, and sounds ever so true. I do have a couple questions, though, about that uprising itself and about the massacre of the white settlers. Tell me a little bit more about that in a minute. We're talking with Michael Burlingame. He is an author and an expert on Lincoln at the University of Illinois in Springfield. We'll pick it up here in a minute. Michael Burlingame is an author, historian, professor, Lynn, distinguished chairperson at the University of Illinois in Springfield, expert on Abraham Lincoln. He's been telling us this story about what happened to Dakota Indians in Minnesota, right, Michael? This all took place in Minnesota. And you said that the Indians, the government was delinquent in getting a payment to this tribe of people there. They were upset about it. This uprising took place. How many people were killed in the initial uprising?
The number of whites killed was 358, and Lincoln wanted to make it sure that there was a distinction drawn between the Dakota who participated as warriors in battle. He said those people shouldn't be executed, but only those people who had committed rape or had killed people in cold blood once they'd surrendered or were captured.
358, I use the word settlers, I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but 358 white people had been killed, men, women, and children, or was it like
right.
cavalry?
Right.
It was like that.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and it was as the greatest slaughter of civilians in American history prior to 9/11.
So Lincoln's got a problem on his hands here. What are we going to do about
right.
that? And how many people
right.
were recommended then to be executed?
303 were found guilty and condemned to death by a military commission.
You say, though, that some of that was bogus, and so when Lincoln looked more carefully at the records, he recommended only that 38 be executed. I guess history
That's
could
correct.
Be told that
he
history could be told right. that he saved over 275 Native Americans.
Well, it was 264, actually, but the fact was, and that was politically inexpedient. He was under great pressure from the elected officials in Minnesota to approve the execution of all 303. And he was told, if you don't approve all 303, the civilians out here are going to take the law into their own hands and kill all the Indians they can find.
Well, how prudent was the final record of the 38 then that were executed? Does it appear, looking back, that they did get the right people who raped or wantonly killed?
Yes, and Lincoln was very careful to make sure that that the people who were on the list were not guilty of committing anything that we would consider a war crime.
Then how is it what do we make of these people that vandalized Lincoln statues in Chicago yesterday?
They just misunderstand history.
I suppose they would disagree with that. Do you know much about this sort of thing? Does this happen often? Does this stain sort of rear its head on Lincoln's legacy now and again?
Well, it's been raised several times in the recent past. In fact, the San Francisco School Board, as you may well know, was going to change the name of Abraham Lincoln High School, largely because of the execution of the 38 Dakota. I submitted an op-ed piece to help set the record straight, and I don't know that that had any effect, but they did decide not to change the name of Abraham Lincoln High School. But the most important part of the objection to Lincoln's name being on the high school was the fact that he had authorized the execution of those 38 Dakota.
Maybe what's lost in this, though, is just the theft of the land and the dishonest treatment that generations of Native Americans have suffered. I suppose
exactly. And Lincoln was told that about, and he was informed by reformers who said, "Look, Mr. President, the system of management of Indian tribes is corrupt and outrageous. And Lincoln said, I agree. And I'm recommending to Congress that something be done about it. And as soon as this war is over, I will devote full attention to making sure that the American Indians are receive just treatment, and that we get rid of this system that has been so abused of Indian agents who are corrupt and inefficient.
And how did we do on that?
Well, eventually that system was abolished of Indian agents who were oftentimes political hacks and were inefficient and corrupt in the way that they administered affairs on the reservations. So after the Civil War, that system was reformed, and under President Grant, a new sort of peace policy was introduced whereby religious groups, particularly Quakers, would appoint people who would help supervise relations with the tribes.
Yeah, so I guess underlying all of this, though, is this manifest destiny from Jefferson on,
right,
that this was
right,
our land, and
right,
what are we going
right,
to do with the people who already live here?
Right.
I don't know how we reconcile that.
Right. Well, Lincoln hardly was responsible for the establishment of that policy, and insofar as he could, he tried to mitigate it.
Very interesting. Okay, Michael Burlingame, author, historian. Michael, author, what's the book that you want us to read?
Well, the most recent book I published was called The Black Man's President, Abraham Lincoln, African Americans, and the Pursuit of Racial Justice, in which I marshaled the evidence to show that Lincoln was instinctively a racial egalitarian.
Okay, Michael, let's visit another day. Thanks for your expertise.
Thank you so much.